Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time to talk company results now with the second largest hospital group in South Africa, boasting almost 7,000 beds in the country. That's Life Healthcare, who've seen a phenomenal return within their revenue growth of 7.8%, and of course, have also managed their profitability and some sweet spots in terms of some of the new innovative technologies and drugs that they also distribute. To tell us more, we join on the line by Peter Wharton Hood, the CEO of Life Healthcare. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Peter, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. A nice turnaround in terms of controlling your margins to maintain profitability in your results this year.
Thank you, Gugu, and lovely to present these results. Yes, we are pleased. Tough conditions during the 6 months, as we described earlier in our investor presentations. And the strategy is starting to pay off. A while ago, we decided that what South Africa needed was accessible, affordable healthcare. And from a business perspective, we wanted more volumes in our hospitals, i.e. more patients coming to Life Healthcare hospitals. And in return for that, lower pricing. So we struck a deal with the three big medical aids and basically agreed with them that if you send us more volume, we'll charge you lower prices. And it's paid off. You can see the growth in what we call PPDs, paid patient days. The number of patients that admitted to hospital went up by 2.7%. Which is a strong result in the market circumstances as we find it.
I do want us to focus on that just a bit, especially when it comes to the forward-looking statement around that arrangement. The sustainability of the growth, 2% is admirable, but I'm assuming that there are higher growth targets to manage the paid patient days?
When one looks at the market, our market is directed at private medical aid members. And current estimates are that that is around 9 million people, and that number doesn't grow. So for us to grow the number of patients in our hospitals means we have to take them from our competitors. So it's not an organic growth in the market. It's actually us offering a proposition where patients and doctors refer patients into our hospitals as opposed to competitors. It's much, much tougher. So the likelihood of that number growing by much bigger than that is very difficult. Mm. Nonetheless, we think that by that level of growth, we are delivering sound financial results back to our shareholders.
Got you. We'll come back to that, especially in connection with the NHI, which you shared commentary on in your numbers in just a moment. But I'm keen to understand in terms of some of the segments that have proven to highlight significant growth. There's two businesses that primarily focus on life molecular imaging. I had to Google this to double check what it does and what it means. But Neurosec saw its sales up by 74%. Contextualize this for us, because I think it's also indicative of the kind of treatments that you also are addressing in terms of healthcare in South Africa.
Google, I'm delighted you Googled it, but at a very high level, Life Molecular has a business that delivers diagnostics for people that are suffering from Alzheimer's disease. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very specialized business. Most of those sales take place in the United States, and this is a very exciting evolution for that business because 3 years ago, no one thought it was a business worth having because there was no treatment for Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. And if there's no treatment, why would people want to get diagnosed for it? Well, the exciting news is that just over 15 months ago, treatment for Alzheimer's was approved. Demand for diagnostics has gone up. Life Healthcare is one of the very few companies in the world that can do a radioisotope PET CT diagnostics for Alzheimer's, effectively a brain scan.
Sure.
So that improvement is very, very exciting because the market is starting to grow and develop quite quickly, and we are in exactly the right place at the right time. Mm.
Speaking of market growth, I have been witnessing that from a few of your other peers and primarily the life insurance and short-term insurance players, they do highlight mental health care as a rising concern in South Africa and, of course, the rise of non-communicable diseases. Does the investment that you've made in Life Molecular Imaging translate into tapping into the opportunities to address these treatments and an area of growth for your business?
Interesting connection, forge the Google, but no, that's not how it's going to work for us because the delivery of Neuroseek is quite a long way away from being delivered in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Our efforts in mental health are therefore a clinic and institution-based. Our mental health business grew by about 6%, which was lower than we would have preferred because the demand for mental health services in South Africa and society at large is definitely growing at faster than 6%. Sure. So we've got some ground to make up there, and we've identified some of the challenges that we were faced with. Our footprint is not exactly fine-tuned, and we need a higher number of psychiatrists and clinicians in our institutions to be able to address that demand.
Sure. That takes us to an intriguing point that you've often highlighted, Peter, the skills shortage in South Africa, so much so that you've also made some investments in the upskilling and training of nurses. Help us understand how far you are with some of these initiatives and if there's camaraderie and participation from some of your peers in the industry.
There's certainly a like-mindedness in identifying and articulating the problem. We do operate independently of one another with the colleges that we've independently set up in order to be able to train nurses. Mm-hmm. And the real disappointment for me, Gugu, is we're in a position to train about 1,500 nurses a year, but we just don't get permission to do so. In order to register nurses in our colleges, we need the permission of the South African Nursing Council. And orders of magnitude, we're training about 20% of the total capacity that we have available. Mm. So we're looking at it is the constant debate about, well, do we or don't we have a nursing shortage? The world has a nursing shortage. South Africa cannot be seen to be any different to the rest of the world. And we would like to be training young nurses today to replace the older nurses that are going to go on retirement. Mm. So the nursing shortage, we believe, is identifiable and real. We should be, as a country, addressing that problem and doing it now. Mm. So hopefully we'll get approvals to train more.
Let's certainly hope so. And I guess this also leans in and speaks to the challenges of the proposed implementation of the NHI in its current form, which you've highlighted, you've engaged on quite aggressively, but do believe that there need to be alternative solutions sought in order to make it sustainable. Help us understand the confusion or frustration with regard to the NHI in its current form.
We were invited to make representations to Parliament during the course of the process that led up to the bill being finalised and ultimately signed into law. Unfortunately, our contributions in that process have been ignored. And Life Healthcare's position is the outcome that the government is seeking to deliver is an enviable one, and we're very supportive of the outcome that is envisaged. Universal healthcare access for all at accessible to all, mm-hmm. is enviable. So, yes, it's the right goal. Trying to achieve that by just putting timelines in around legislation is not what we supported. We said, hang on a minute, if this is the delivery that's envisaged, let's rather be practical. Let's have a milestones approach associated with this deployment, and let's concentrate on the practical matters that need solving. If you want to deliver healthcare to more South Africans, you need more doctors, you need more nurses, you need more skilled hospital managers to manage the facilities we currently already have. Having a debate around financing when you haven't actually addressed the real resource requirements and needs that will come in order to deliver it, we think is incorrect. Mm-hmm. And on that basis, we've been outspoken. Yes, it's the right ideal and the right dream, but are we going at about the right way? No, we need to be more practical. We've also highlighted that a single fund just poses too much financial risk to the system, and therefore we don't support it. We think one is a concentration risk that this country cannot bear, mm-hmm. and therefore we don't support it.
Speaking of not supporting, does that mean that even we as South African consumers should just follow through with further updates? In other words, do we need to do anything about it right now in its current form and the changing of our medical insurance or medical aid cover?
Do absolutely nothing to change your current medical aid cover. The implementation of NHI at a practical level is going to take years, if not decades, to manifest itself. Please don't change your medical cover, because there is no real substitute for it. And therefore, I'm not in the medical aid business, mm-hmm. but discontinuing your medical aid premiums would be highly irresponsible. Keep your cover.
Mm. I do want to get your forward-looking prospects. And as you've mentioned, there are political challenges or policies to challenge in South Africa. There is a skills shortage that still remains. And of course, you're also looking to diversify your income streams in terms of diversification. What does this mean for the next 6 to 12 months for your business that shareholders and other stakeholders like ourselves can hold you accountable to?
Well, what we want to see is we want to see more patients coming to Life Healthcare hospitals. So we've said that in our outlook statement that occupancies across our hospitals will be at or slightly above 70%, which is a significant improvement on where we were during COVID. And it takes us almost back to pre-COVID levels of activity in our hospitals. Mm. And that's also showing that our arrangements with the funders is actually getting traction. With that, we will need a PPD growth, paid patient days growth, of just over 2%, which we think we can deliver and achieve in the current market. But you can't do that at all costs, so we need to manage our margin, call that profit in our Listlands language, at rates at or about where we achieved in the first half of this year with a small improvement. That means we have to run these hospitals and our head office more efficiently, so we've got to be very, very focused on costs. And we also have identified, after at least 4 years of hard work, opportunities to deliver services outside of the hospitals. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had a chance to talk about rehabilitation. We've made a significant investment in renal dialysis. We bought a big business from FMC. We've made strides in owning and delivering imaging, which is diagnostics, call that MRIs, X-rays, sonar, and so on. And we're making strides in the delivery of specialist service in cancer treatment, i.e. in oncology. In addition to which, we've got Life Health Services, which provides corporate wellness services and occupational health services to the big corporates of South Africa. And then we have Life in Kanisa, which is a very large public-private partnership of nearly 3,000 beds in tandem with government. So we have lots of work to do domestically. Internationally, going back to your observations around Life Molecular Imaging and Neuraseq, we've got to continue to drive sales of Neuraseq doses in the United States.
100%. Well, we look forward to all that growth and, of course, seeing the growth and development and discussing this with you in the upcoming months.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.